Greetings, grand and upstanding gamers, to another retro-fused show of the Daily Days Too Many Games podcast, the quick trip back to cartridges, bits, and joysticks. I am your humble host, Mr. Picario, and today let's celebrate one of my fave systems of gaming, Nintendo's grand but oddly short-lived Game Boy Advance. Released on June 11th, 2001, in North America, this lean machine served as the Big N's second true successor to the original Game Boy, with the Game Boy Color, or GBC, serving as a sort of filler middle system between the two. Indeed, while the GBC was content to stick with 8 bits, the Game Boy Advance, or GBA, touted a 32-bit processor, an updated horizontal build with an accompanying widescreen, and gasp, 4 buttons, 2 on the face and 2 on the shoulders. Although modest by today's standards, the Game Boy Advance, hence its name, was the most advanced portable dedicated gaming device the world had yet seen. Even better, it was fully compatible with old Game Boy and Game Boy Color titles, giving it a huge instant library at launch, and it needed all the help it could get. Its starting lineup only had 2 notable titles: Super Mario Advance, which was simply an improved conversion of the Super Mario All-Stars version of Super Mario 2, and then Castlevania Circle of the Moon, a great game almost ruined by its dark, barely visible graphics. Yep, while the GBA was a $99 bargain marvel for its era, Nintendo still skimped on the one key feature many had been crying a decade for, and that, of course, was a lighted screen. So yes, early GBA games were often hard on the eyes. Companies soon got wiser, however, creating titles full of bright colors that made discerning what was going on at least possible. And finally, Nintendo learned too, releasing the radically redesigned GBA SP in March 23, 2003, across North America. No longer held sideways, this newest iteration brought back the vertical orientation of its 8-bit forebears, with one ingenious difference. A new clamshell build allowed it to fold in half, making the system ultra-tiny for any pocket or compartment without sacrificing screen real estate. This did come at the cost of ergonomic comfort, though, especially for the L and R shoulder buttons now crammed atop the unit. But most gladly traded some cramped fingers for the eliminated eye strain the newly front lighted screen amply provided. Some late edition models went further still, moving the light to the back for a truly vivid eye-popping display. Today, these final SP backlit revisions are heavily sought after by collectors. And yet, the GBA's family doesn't stop there. In September 2005, the GBA received a third build and a new title. Dubbed the Game Boy Micro, it was and is the tiniest GBA ever made. Indeed, it's probably the smallest cartridge-based portable ever devised, with an itty-bitty shape not unlike a mini NES controller. Unfortunately, this shrinkage comes with some sacrifices, namely a screen now too small to see text-extensive games easily, and sadly, the backwards compatibility as well. This may or may not have led to the system's mediocre sales, but more than likely, it was Nintendo's newest portable, the dual-screened DS, that really torpedoed those numbers. It's a shame, too, as the micro screen is beautiful, and its front faceplate could even be replaced with other designs. This cool yet quirky design mentality is likely why the micro is today another highly sought oddity among Nintendo enthusiasts. And lest I forget, there was also the Game Boy Player, a plate-like device that fit beneath the Nintendo GameCube to allow games to be played on television sets. It was essentially a Super Game Boy, and it worked much like that Super Nintendo attachment, although its requirement of a boot-up disc to load games means it was not quite as convenient to use and very easy to lose. Nevertheless, it was an awesome accessory for any handheld, and really the last of its kind. The DS and its ilk would never see a similar attachment. So, what killed the GBA and really the entire Game Boy line? Well, Nintendo did really, thanks to the then-experimental DS that the Big N itself had doubts about. But the DS, which could still play GBA games anyway, quickly became a resounding success, forcing Nintendo to choose between its two children. And yes, the DS became the company's new golden son. So the Game Boy Advance was retired with more a whimper than a proper send-off, withering as the DS conquered the next generation. If only the Big N had called it the Game Boy Dual Screen, all could have remained right with the world. Alas, alas. As for me, the GBA is easily my favorite handheld. It was the portable Super Nintendo I had always wanted, but even more, it resurrected a certain 2D type of play that was fast going out of style in the early 2000s. Heck, I'll go even further. The GBA felt like a Super Nintendo sequel, with an exuberant number of remakes and new installments gracing its library. I truly wish I had the time to give the gems of the system a proper introduction, but alas, I'll have to settle for simply listing some of its many highlights. In no particular order, Mario Kart Super Circuit, Astro Boy, Final Fantasy VI, Mario vs. Donkey Kong, Mario Golf, Kirby Nightmare in Dreamland, Racing Gears, Gunstar Superheroes, Super Robot Tyson, Sonic Advance, Mega Man Battle Network, Drill Dozer, Gradius Galaxies, Super Puzzle Fighter 2, Boktai, The Sun Is In Your Hand, Metal Slug Advance, Pokemon Pinball, WarioWare Incorporated, Super Dodgeball, Pokemon Leaf Green, Mega Man Zero, and on and on and on. My favorites, however, are the Metroidvania games, primarily Castlevania Aria of Sorrow, and naturally Metroid Fusion and Zero Mission. Wario Land 4 is also a wacky, superb work of engineering. Doom was mind-blowing for the time, and both Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga and Zelda the Minish Cap were complete masterpieces, and still are. The Game Boy Advance is even home to some addictive rarities like the excellent Ninja 5-0, the poorly named stealth platformer that felt like an old-school classic even in 2003. Some games even foreshadowed the motion control craze of the Wii, especially the rather ingenious WarioWare Twisted that had gamers tilting and turning their GBAs in hopes of passing the game's countless microgames. Indeed, my only real complaint with the GBA library is the lack of a truly new Super Mario sequel. The platform practically begged for one, but all we got were several enhanced rehashes of Mario 2, 3 World, and Yoshi's Island. I would have especially loved a true sequel to Mario World, the Game Boy Advance being the perfect vehicle for it. Ah well. Now before I go, I probably should also mention the e-reader, an accessory that plugged into the GBA's cartridge slot and allowed players to swipe cards, usually bought in packs, to load extra content into specific games, or in some cases load an entirely new title altogether. It was barely supported in the US, but Nintendo did release a special series of cards that allowed players to load old NES games from the system's earliest days, games like Donkey Kong, Urban Champion, and Pinball, by swiping packs of 5 cards multiple times. And yes, in case you were wondering, this was a lot of work for some very simple games. More interesting, perhaps, was the Super Mario Bros. 3 support. Specific Super Mario Bros. 3 cards could be bought and then scanned to add extras to the base game. Extras like new levels, new power-ups taken from other Mario games, like the Feather for instance, and even new gameplay mechanics, like now pluckable vegetables, that could then be thrown a la Super Mario Bros. 2. In other words, think of the e-reader as a form of DLC or amiibo before either was available or feasible. Alas, the GBA is now long gone, but might the Big N resurrect the brand someday? With the Switch selling like bonkers, I hate to say it, but probably not, unless Nintendo releases something like a GBA Classic Edition someday in the future. Indeed, the Game Boy Advance deserved better, maybe much better, but we can still at least always remember through a fine library that will always be there, waiting to be discovered again. And that renaissance is coming, probably soon. And so concludes our show for this week. Thanks for listening, everyone, and I will be back next Sunday with another topic of interest. This is Mr. Picario signing off for now.